Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run away because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord. Christ is risen.
He's risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we call this Good Shepherd Sunday, but if you read the lesson and count up the words, as I had the confirmands and the youth group do last night at our little gathering, you find that there's five or six gates that the kids underlined, and maybe two shepherds. And if you notice in the reading, one of them spelled wrong too. So we could maybe say this is Good Gate Sunday. I like the image of a gate. And my favorite one that I've known for a long time, and maybe at some point you remember me lying down at the opening to the sheepfold down there with the kids. But a lot of the Iranian shepherds these days act as gates at night for their sheep. They lie down at the very entrance, literally with their body, so that nothing can get through unless it goes through the shepherds. For anything harmful, they have to go straight on through the living shepherd, who is physically a gate. Jesus, in his ministry and his life among us, with the sheep, all of whom he knows by name, is devoted to his sheep, his followers, and placed himself so as to endure all harm that was directed at his friends, his family, his flock. But it strikes me that the image of the gate is two-way. And Jesus, in fact, says that we will go in and out and find pasture. We call upon Jesus also. If we remember at our Vespers services, often we will say and sing to the Lord to guard the door, guard the gate of my lips. So we often ask also that things not only difficult come in, but we ask God to protect us, to show us, and save us from things going out. Guard the doors of my lip, that hurtful things don't go out from us. We ask Jesus to be watchful over all, that our relationships aren't damaged, that we are guided and directed away from doing harm to others. See what you think. The gate really is an image of the cross, because Jesus is the guardian and savior of our souls, our very beings, our entire reality. By enduring the harm that is directed toward us, we often say that Jesus stands with victims. But also as guardian of our hearts and lips, he also endures the pain that we inflict that goes out from us. As with the Iranian shepherd's image, Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. So, he is the good shepherd, but he is a good shepherd because he's a good gate, or even better gate. And even though this image of the shepherd and gate depicts Jesus keeping what was threatening out, as I mentioned earlier, the gate is also something that allows folks to come in. Most of his ministry, if we think about it, was not about excluding or putting people outside, but actually opening the gates wide, opening the doors wide to include all, to welcome many who were kept outside, outside of community, outside of God's acceptance, outside of the city even, or of life, as the Gospel of John might would say, outside of communion with God. It strikes me that we live in such a world these days that contends and wrestles with this question that we have before us, this reality that life is often ordered by issues of gatekeeping and boundaries. Isn't that a national issue that we are debating? And it strikes me very interesting that the center of it all is a wall with a big gate. It's a national interest, and one that, whether we're for it or against it, is something that we all have to contend with. How do we welcome in a safe way, I would guess? So we ask, what or who is harmful? Who is welcome? Who has access to abundant life? Gatekeepers set the boundaries. Also in political parties, drawing districts, for instance. Who's in, who's out? Who is the gatekeeper in healthcare? Who gets abundant life? Or in our social order, the practice of segregating neighborhood, who gets to live where? Who gets to live in this neighborhood? Or who's excluded? Who's in, who's out? Scripture might say who's acceptable or who is unclean, to use the Bible image. And of course, in our church community, how often hasn't that been the reality? The confirmands in a youth group, we were talking last night about gates, and we were remembering Bethel's own name and the story about it. Surely Jacob wrestling with the angel and then setting up the stone and the shrine at Bethel. At the end of that story, what does he say? Surely this is the gate of heaven. But so often it has been really a restrictive door, a restrictive gate to keep people out. In the Bible, these guidelines are often called holiness codes. Who's acceptable? Who's holy? Who's on God's side? Who isn't? Who wasn't? How do we maintain a society of standards? How do we remain holy? Is abundant life only for some? Or is it really abundant? Is that abundant when we shrink it down to only a few? But the extraordinary thing about our story, about Jesus' ministry, about the gate, is that Jesus was friend of sinners. Jesus ate with sinners. Jesus embraced sinners, healed them, fed them, called them. He is the gate by whom and through whom all are welcome. It's not restrictive. Welcome to God's community and to the table. I am the gate, Jesus says. Whoever enters by me will be saved. That's not an exclusive statement, but a wide open welcome. The thief and the bandit will not enter because they only want what they can take. And they don't want others to share in their reality, their wealth, their power, their existence, which is not life after all, certainly not abundant life. But the gate of forgiveness, the promise of life, is always open. I am the gate, says Jesus, even to the one who betrayed him, to all those who forsook him, to the disciples who wondered, what's in it for me? To all of us who reside so often in our restrictive situations, fears and failures. Jesus opens the gates of forgiveness, the promise of new life. He bears our sin in his being. The gate becomes the cross. As sinner saints, we have been on both sides of the gate. By the gate of his cross, we now go in and out. In Christ, we find that we have life and the community of faith. In the community of faith, we have life in welcoming the marginalized and the excluded. We also have life in confronting the bandit and the thief. And for Jesus, the bandits and the thieves weren't folks skulking around the back alleys or out in the wilderness, but they generally were folks of authority and power who had the power and authority to exclude, who prevented the inclusion of the poor, the marginalized, the lost. For Jesus, the abundant life that he promises is to see in each of us, in each human being, the fullness of God's promise that we are all called to follow Jesus, who brought life to all, to go in and out and find pasture. The eternal gift and promise of abundant life, Jesus says, is present to us now. In following him, in his welcome, in his sharing of life, offering of forgiveness, bringing healing to the sick, feeding the hungry, to find value and life in all of God's people and all of God's creation. And we trust not only now, but that this gift of abundant life will be our eternal promise through our faith in Christ Jesus. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.